Blog Talk Radio.
Agree with you in prayer. Thank you, Jesus. I prayed for you. I prayed for you. I'm going to use your story. I want to be free right now. Open your mouth and begin to tell the Lord. I want to be free right now. Tell the Lord. I'm ready to be delivered right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Open your mouth and tell him. God, I give you every failure. God, I give you every secret in my life. God, I give you every hidden thing. I'm ready. Shake it off of me. Deliver me in my secret that I might be free. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We'll call it prayer. 30 more seconds, 30 more seconds. He's breaking it off of you. He's changing your appetite. He's changing your desire. Somebody clap your hands for these people. Somebody's getting free. We break the cords. We break the cords of wickedness. We break the cords of your bondage. Woman, be free. Woman, be free. Woman, be delivered. Woman, be whole today. I've already prayed for you. I've already fixed it. I've already died and rose again for it.
I've got my liberty.
Lord, I receive my liberty. Lord, I receive my
free.
I want to be free right now.
Are you on the line?
Yes, I'm here. How are you?
I am blessed. How are you, man of God?
I'm doing great, thank God. Had a little technical difficulty, but I think we'll be okay.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, we thank God for you, man of God, and we know how God truly used you bringing forth the word of God to his people. Glory to God. So, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, I just plead the blood of Jesus over the phone lines in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, that your word should go forth unhindered and unchecked by any outside forces tonight in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord God. I plead the blood of Jesus over the men of God, and I thank you, Lord God, it almost see you, God, the revelation that you have given the men of God. I pray that the people of God is prepared to receive, that they come with expectations to receive a word from you tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah, God, and glory to your matchless name. At this time, men of God, I yield the line to you.
Well, thank you, Evangelist Hannah, and God bless you. I hope and pray that you have had a wonderful holiday season. I'm believing God for great things for you all for the new year coming up. Praise God for the work that you are doing. Unto the Lord, and we're just continually blessed and excited with this opportunity that you have given us to come forth every fourth Friday. And I appreciate it, and I praise God for you. So tonight, without any more delay, we're going to get into the word of the Lord. We're going to be reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 61 and verse number 1. And Isaiah says in Isaiah 61 and 1, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." And from these passages, we want to tonight talk about healing in the inner sanctum. Healing in the inner sanctum. Now, the prophet the prophet Isaiah is basically dealing with a very familiar passage of scripture to most of us who are believers, and it becomes the foundation upon which we place the healings that we receive from the Lord. And we often talk about most of us have been healed by God from some type of condition, some type of malady in our bodies, or if we have and we know someone who perhaps has been healed. But most of the time, we emphasize the physical needs for healing above all. But these passages that we read here in the book of Isaiah, they suggest more of a psychological or an emotional and internal type of healing than a physiological or physical healing. And that's, of course, not to imply that physical healing is not a part of our spiritual legacy, because, as I just said, most of us are aware of healing in our personal lives or in the lives of someone that we know personally who have experienced physical healing. Brother Peter talks about the same passage that Isaiah, to another extent, he says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24, he talks about Christ who has bare our sins in his own body on the tree, which is the cross, of course. He says that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. And Peter says, by whose stripes we were, that is past tense, healed. Now, the Greek word for stripes is a singular word, which is the word molops, and it basically deals with a bruise or a wound from a stripe. It's not necessarily referring to Christ's scourging on Calvary, but it is figurative of the stroke of judgment which Christ's death on Calvary was used to justify us before God by taking the sins of the world upon himself. during the times of the original apostles, the practice of scourging was, they even had to revise it because it was actually being misused for various violations. And so they were to be given 40 stripes minus one. No one was actually supposed to receive 40 stripes. That was somewhat of an abuse. And it was basically, they said, 40 stripes minus one to assure that the practice of scourging men would not be abused. And so according to Deuteronomy 25, verse 2 and 3, it says, 40 stripes they were able to give and not exceed, lest if they should exceed and they beat their brother with many stripes, it says that he would seem vile unto them. And so Paul picks it up in 2 Corinthians in chapter number 11 and verses 22 through 24. And he's somewhat almost, it seems like in a boastful type of way, but he, on occasion, he had to do this to make them understand who he was as an apostle. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 22 through 24, he says, are they Hebrews? And he's asking the question. He says, so am I. He said, are they Israelites? He says, so am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? He says, so am I. Are they ministers of Christ? And he says in parenthesis, I speak as a fool. He said, for I am more. He said, in labors I'm more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent. And he says, in death circumstances often. He said, and of the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes, save one. In other words, he said, I was beaten five times and given 39 stripes each time for the cause of Christ. I recall reading somewhere that there were 39 categories of diseases. One stripe for every category. Now, the medical community is divided on this idea, and for the most part, they reject the idea that diseases are placed in the 39 various categories. But I personally accept that possibility because the scriptures are rich in mysteries which the world will never endorse or validate in their attempt to discredit the word of God. The prophetic accuracy of God's plan, brothers and sisters, is just simply amazing. But I laid that foundation to emphasize how often we emphasize physical healing. And physical healing is a blessing, amen. We know that God is able to heal us from cancers and heart disease and diabetes and all of the various physical maladies that we go through. But in the body of Christ, there is a need for healing in the inner sanctum. That word sanctum comes from a Hebrew word sanctorum. And it is basically, it's a private room, amen, where a person is not disturbed. In the Hebrew language, the word is kodesh hakadishim, which means the holiest of holies or the place of utmost privacy and inviolability. And as believers in Christ, we've been filled with the Holy Ghost. We've been saved and we've been sanctified. And we've been delivered from many physical maladies, but there are things that are in the inner sanctum or the innermost place of our being that God wants us to understand that we need healing from. Praise the Lord. As believers in Christ, as well as the unregenerated world, most of our expectations regarding healing are primarily based on the outer court or the physical dimension of healing. Praise the Lord. Believers and unbelievers worldwide can testify that Jesus is a healer. And we've all been exposed to that. Praise the Lord. But we must understand that there is a healing that God has given us that is available for the inner court of our spirit, our inner man. Praise the Lord. And it's not as dramatic and instantaneous as the healing in the outer court experience, because people many times physically are healed instantaneously. Healing in the inner sanctum, brothers and sisters, can take time, but we must recognize that we need it. Praise the Lord. The sanctuary, the Old Testament sanctuary, the Old Testament tabernacle, the Old Testament temple were all modeled after us as human beings. The human design is that we are spirit, soul, and body. And this is a divine order upon which the tabernacle in the wilderness is patterned after. It is also the order of divine priority as it relates to mankind. God's priority is spirit, soul, and body. But the world says body, soul, and spirit. Because many times, even those of us who have been blood washed, born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, we live our lives body, soul, and spirit. But the divine order is spirit, soul, and body. Praise the Lord. You see, man's priority is only concerned with the outer court or the body. Praise the Lord. Satan understood when he was after Job, when he was tempted to get Job, when he tried to destroy Job, he said in the book of Job, chapter 2 and verse 4, he says, skin for skin, yea, all will a man give for his life. Because we prioritize our physical experience above the spiritual experience. We prioritize living in the natural world. We prioritize health. We prioritize wealth. We prioritize prosperity. But God's plan is spirit, soul, and body. And he wants us to be whole in the inner sanctum of our being. Notice what the apostle says concerning the way that we are structured. He says, for the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And he says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him in whom we have to do. God looks on the enemy. Hallelujah. And he wants us to heal in the inner sanctum. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he says, the very God of peace will sanctify you wholly. And he knows what he says. He said, I pray, God, your whole spirit first, and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Much of the world's religious approach and a broad range of Christianity is devoted solely to the outer court of physical healing and physical living. But in this passage, the apostle of Christ gives us the complete sanctification process of man before God. It is your whole spirit and soul and body. But he starts with the inner man. Praise the Lord. Physical sickness, cancer, diabetes, heart disease, high blood pressure, paralysis, all of those things are important for healing, but it is the inner man. Praise the Lord. We have confined our expectations regarding healing to the outer court of the earthly tabernacle, which is our body. Brothers and sisters, we must understand that we need healing in the inner sanctum, because there are many deep-rooted generational spiritual psychosis which are inbred into our families and our culture. And a large part of us, in a million cases, we have pains related to the subtle powers of spiritual abuse in some cases. Sometimes we're in spiritual environments where those in the leadership are spiritually abusive. And we must understand that we need healing in the inner sanctum. We need deliverance from spiritual tyranny in the body of Christ. there are men and women who stand in the authority of God who are abusing their power and their authority. They are intimidating, manipulating, and misusing the people of God, and we need healing. Praise the Lord. These conditions represent a stronghold in the lives of many children of God. In some cases, they have been there for many years. Praise the Lord. And they're not something that we lay hands on and they disappear instantaneously. They are psychological assaults, which are the strongholds in the body of Christ, in the inner sanctum of the hearts of many born-again believers. There is racism. Someone once said that Sunday morning is the most segregated time of the week. There are people who are standing in pulpits and preaching Christ, but they're preaching hate. They're preaching racial separatism and trying to justify it with scripture, and brothers and sisters have had these seeds planted into their spirit, and they need healing in the inner sanctum. Hallelujah. There's sexism. Some women are unable to hold their heads up because of spiritual abuse in the body of Christ. Someone has tried to make them believe, and using a spiritual foundation to make them believe, that they were inferior to men. But in Christ there is neither male nor female, Greek nor Jew, bond nor servant, but a new creature in Christ. We're in the spiritual dimension of men, of women of God. But we need healing because some have been made to believe that the woman is an inferior creature. And it's being taught across the pulpit. Praise the Lord. Sexual abuse, we need healing. Some of us were molested as children. We were molested and misused by relatives and strangers. And it has taken a root in our spirit, and it affects every relationship that we have with others, women with their husbands, husbands with their wives. And we have not sought God for the healing because we thought that healing was just for the outer man. And the church has emphasized that, brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. Some of us come up in families where everything was abusive. The parents would curse us out and tell us, you'll never amount to anything. You'll never be no good. You're just like your daddy. You're just like your mama. I don't care about you. I don't love you. I don't care. And that has taken roots in us, and it has affected every relationship that we have. Hallelujah. Jesus has to help us. Even in the body of Christ, in the early church, when the Gentiles came into the body of Christ, Jewish brethren, because they had a sense of ethnocentrism, they believed that they were superior to the Gentiles because, after all, they had the law and the prophets, and Moses belonged to them. But in Christ, there is neither male nor female. There is neither Greek nor Jew. There is no bond or servant. What was the apostle saying? In Christ, it doesn't matter where you were born and where you come from and what color you are. It doesn't matter whether you're a man or a woman. It doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor. But we are all a new creature in Christ. But we have allowed these things to infect our fellowship, infect our relationship. And they hinder us because they've taken root. They've taken root in the inner sanctum. Hallelujah. Some of us have trust-related issues. We couldn't trust that daddy was going to pay the rent. We couldn't trust that mama was going to be at home. And those trust-related issues have affected our trust and confidence with God. because we never learned to trust. But I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, God wants to heal us in the inner sanctum. He wants us to have deliverance from these powerful things that have controlled us. Oh, yeah, we look good on the outer court. Our clothing look nice. We go to church. We got the right cliches. Praise the Lord, my brother. God bless you, my sister. We got it all down in the outer sanctum. Our church is running in perfect order. The choir sings on cue. The pastor says the right words. But we need healing in the inner sanctum, because God says, if you can't be healed, you can't move forward like I want you to. You can't be the evangelist. You can't be the prophet, the apostle, the teacher that I want you to be. You must heal. Hallelujah. The family secrets, spirit of rejection. Praise the Lord. And these things, brothers and sisters, are like spiritual tentacles on the human spirit or the human psyche. Hallelujah. As I said, healing in the inner sanctum, it's not flamboyant. And I know it's not demonstrative. Hallelujah. As the physical displays of healing, we lay hands on people and they fall out on the floor. And they get up and say, I feel better. I feel delivered. This is going to take some time, my brothers and sisters. But we must first acknowledge it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, let it be known that the most important transformation we can have takes place in the inner sanctum. In Romans chapter 12, he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Yes, you should present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And don't be conformed to this world, but he said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, by the renewing of your mind, by the renewing of your mind. The changes that need to take place in the inner sanctum, that you might prove what is the good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Hallelujah. Paul wrote to young Timothy, amen, who was a spiritual son of his in the gospel, to encourage him in his faith. Timothy was a very young pastor who at times wrestled with his youthfulness and the negative responses of those whom he served as an under-shepherd. Paul reminded him of his spiritual legacy with his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. And he let him know, he said, Timothy, I'm going to put you into remembrance that you should stir up the gift of God which is in you, which was given to you by the laying on of hands. For he said, for God has not given us the spirit of fear. Praise the Lord. That is a Greek word, delos. It means a cowardly fear. God has not given us a cowardly fear. He's given us a reverential fear. But most of all, he has given us a spirit whereby we have the power of love and a sound mind. Hallelujah. Healing in the inner sanctum, brothers and sisters. It deals with the need of transformation. As Paul stated in Romans 12, we must actively be engaged in the transformation process. It parallels spiritually the instruction that God gave to the prophet Jeremiah at the inception of Jeremiah's ministry. Hallelujah. You see, Jeremiah, his spiritual principle is very important to us. When you go and read it in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 9 and 10, praise the Lord. I believe it's important because it's applicable to the body of Christ. And it really pertains to healing in the inner sanctum. Jeremiah says in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 9 and 10, he says, the Lord put forth his hand and he touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto him, behold, I put my words in your mouth. So see, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms. But notice what he tells Jeremiah. The first thing he has to do, he says, is to root out institutionalized spiritual bondage and deception. He needed to root some things out. Many things are institutionalized in the body of Christ. Things that are actually things that bring us under bondage and deception. And Jeremiah recognized what God was saying to him. Jeremiah realized he couldn't preach over the top of it. Praise the Lord. He realized it must be time taken to strategically uproot it. Praise the Lord. You can cut something off. But if it's got roots, it has a cosmetic appearance. It looks like it's okay. On the surface, it looks okay. If you cut weeds on the surface, it looks okay. But the problem is beneath the surface. Hallelujah. And we can't preach over bondage and deception, brothers and sisters. We must root it out because its tentacles are in the inner sanctum of our spirit. Hallelujah. Jeremiah goes on to say he must pull down some things. Some things have set themselves up in our inner sanctum as idols, as idolatries. Brothers and sisters, I'm not against wealth. I'm not against health. I'm not against prosperity. But that's not the message of God today. We have allowed that spirit to set up an idol in our inner sanctum. And that's the message that we hear. That's the message that we preach. But God has saved us to save the world. My mission is not to be rich. My mission is not to be wealthy. I know that's not popular. My mission is to seek and to save that which was lost. If I never have wealth, if I never prosper, this is not the season of reward for the believer. We are in the season of work. We are in the season of labor. Reward comes later. Oh, I know I'm making enemies here tonight. Hallelujah. But it's right anyhow. So it's important. Jeremiah said we got to uproot it. It's in the inner sanctum. Its roots are like tentacles into our psyche, into our spirit, into our inner man. The idolatries we must pull down. And he goes on to say, Jeremiah does, there's some things we just have to destroy, throw down, and after we do that, after we uproot it, after we pull it down, after we destroy it, after we throw down, and the final phase is now, you can build and you can plant. Hallelujah. There's a time and a season for every purpose under the heavens, Solomon said, Ecclesiastes. A time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted. There are some things that are planted in our inner sanctum that had to be plucked up and must be plucked up in order for God to put something better. Hallelujah. It's time out for dressing up hatred. It's time out for covering it, dressing it up, and making us think it's okay. Hallelujah. See, the instructions which God gave the prophet Jeremiah, it lays the foundation from which we must take to realize that it challenges the inner sanctum of our human spirit. There are things which are continuing to negatively influence us year after year because we have not been willing or able or aware that we need to root them out. No matter what you put on the top of it to cover it up, it will continue to rear its ugly head because it has roots. You can cut it off at the base. But as I said, that's only a cosmetic approach. Hallelujah. We have to pull some things down that are in the inner sanctum. Hallelujah. We must destroy some things symbolically. They need to be burned. They need to be thrown down. Hallelujah. In makes me think about something that happened with the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts, around the 19th chapter. And the Bible talked about how God had gave Paul power to perform unusual miracles. The man could take handkerchiefs or aprons, praise the Lord, that touched his skin and they were placed on sick people and they were healed of their diseases. Evil spirits was coming out. There was a group of Jews that was traveling along from town to town. They called themselves casting out evil spirits, and they tried to use the name of the Lord Jesus in their incantations. And they said, I command you in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, to come out. Hallelujah. And it's a daily thing to even try to use the name of Jesus when you have no association to it or no right to it. But they did it. Praise the Lord. And what happened was, because they did it, those seven sons of Sceva, who were priests, they stirred up the wrong spirit. And that spirit let them know what it thought of them, because it had no respect for them. He said, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know, but who are you? And the man that had that evil spirit leaped on them, gave them a religious beatdown, if I can use my own phraseology. Hallelujah. And beat them so bad that they had to flee out of the house naked and battered. And the story has spread real quickly, praise the Lord. And the name of Jesus was honored. And many of those people confessed Christ. And what they did, they came out in the open with the things that they were practicing. They were practicing sorcery. They brought their incantation books and they burned all of their stuff in a public bonfire. And the value of that stuff was worth, in some estimations, millions of dollars. Brothers and sisters, some of us filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized, speaking in tongues, are connecting with incantations, involved with witchcraft, going to people to get a word who have no connection to Christ. Hallelujah. And you need healings in your inner sanctum because grandmother practiced it. It's become a generational root. Grandpa practiced it. Mama practiced it. And all going to church. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, we need healing. We need healing in the inner sanctum. Hallelujah. God wants to heal us. Even in the body of Christ, we have more divorced than the world. Christian divorce rates are at the same rate as the world. And among people in ministry, it's slightly higher at about 50%. And a part of it is because we're not healing in the inner sanctum. I need healing, Lord. Help me tonight. I need healing. But I'm not by myself. Hallelujah. We got ritual, we got routine, we got cliches, but we are hurting. And if we do not heal in the inner sanctum, we are going to continue to live the same old dysfunctional patterns of our past experiences before Christ. You can decorate them, you can polish them, you can put a smile on it if you want to, but they will not change because they must be rooted out. Hallelujah. And God sees, and God knows, and he wants to help us, brothers and sisters. He said, come unto me, all you that are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's not just a appeal to salvation. We can continually come to Christ because he is our rest. Hallelujah. He sees it. Praise the Lord. He knows our hearts. He knows because our thoughts are far off. That inner sanctum, brothers and sisters, the holy place of the human spirit, is the most crucial and intimate and sacred place of the human desire. That's why the Lord does not confide himself to what we do so much in the outer courts of our body. And that's important. Don't get me wrong. I'm not speaking theological nonsense. When God wants to know what we are and who we are, the scripture says that man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Hallelujah. It makes me think about in 1 Samuel. And they brought Eliab, and when Eliab came, they said, surely this is the Lord's anointing. But the Lord said unto Samuel, he said, don't look on his countenance. Don't look at the height of his stature, because I have refused him. He said, for the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looks on the outward appearance. But the Lord looks at the heart. Hallelujah. It is the most intricate place, the inner man. Hallelujah. It is the holiest place, the inner man. The Holy of Holies is that innermost place where God dwells with us. That is a secret place, that secret asylum, that secret place where we dwell in the secret places of the Most High. It is the place where we commune with God. It's the place where no one else with the natural eye can see. But yet God sees and knows. See, the holiest of holies, brothers and sisters, that I said earlier, was a spiritual type or example of the human spirit. Hallelujah. The Bible says his spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the sons of God. And we are spirit, we are soul, and we are body. We're not body, soul, and spirit. We are spirit first. When God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, he became a living soul. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Our body is the outer court activity. We can train our body to do the right thing. But yet we can be miserable. We can be hurting and suffering and pain in our inner man, unable to overcome because something has taken root in our inner man that we can't seem to shake. But God, brothers and sisters, loves us. And he wants us to know, he says, I'm here, I'm waiting on you. I'm ready to heal you in your inner sanctum. That abuse that you suffered many years ago, you never told anybody about it. And you bared it the best you could. God says, I see it, now it's time for me to heal you. But you got to give it to me. That molestation, that lack of trust that you have, you can't trust anybody. Because everybody in your life seems to have abandoned you. Hallelujah. But God says, I want to heal you. On the outside, everything appears normal. It says everything is okay. You got the routine down to a science. Religiously, you're flawless. Your secular career looks good. Your family life at a distance looks okay. But it's pounding in your head that daddy said you'll never amount to anything. And every time you accomplish something, you're battling with that inner voice. You're doing things to try to suppress it, to overcome it, to prove the world wrong, to prove them that I'm okay, I can be successful, I'm going to be all right. No, they didn't get the upper hand, but God says, give it to me. Hallelujah. He wants to save us, brothers and sisters.
We need healing for the inner sight. And grace is the only healing balm for the inner sight. There is no price for grace, brothers and sisters. There is no preparation to receive the grace of God. You can't earn the grace of God. You can't pay for the grace of God. It was already paid for. It was already secured on Calvary. The Lord says, come unto me. That's the problem sometimes. We're going through people. And I'm not downplaying the importance of people who are spiritual mentors in our lives and people who are we have a spiritual relationship with. I'm not talking about apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, but they are human. They are struggling as well. They need help in the inner sanctum. The Lord says, come to me, my sister. Come to me, my brother. Hallelujah. And he won't judge you. The scripture says, let us come boldly before the throne of grace. He said the word boldly means with confidence. It's not the throne of judgment. It's not the throne of condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. When Paul said that, he wasn't saying we were perfect when we come to Christ. He was dealing with the law of carnal commandments, which many of the Jewish brethren were trying to place upon the Gentile and saying, we don't come to Christ that way. We come to him as we are. Don't try to patch it up. Don't try to fix it up. That's a mistake. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, or whatever. And because he had a pack of cigarettes in his shirt, one of the church mothers, and I knew it was only she only understood what she understood, she tried to disannul his approach to God. God wasn't looking at his cigarettes. He was looking at his heart. And that's many times the reason why many times people won't get saved, because we got so much judgment. Did Jesus tell them to put down all of these vices and come to him? He says, come unto me. I hadn't gotten rid of anything, but I got the Holy Ghost, then went home and cleaned out my life. Because if I had to clean up my life, I'd have been a dead man. I'd have been still. And if you didn't do nothing, you are a natural born sinner. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The baby that's going to be born tomorrow at midnight is a natural born sinner. Hallelujah. A natural born sinner. Because that's what Papa Adam put on us. Hallelujah. Grace is the only way, my brothers and sisters. Thank God for grace. Hallelujah. What did Paul say in Romans chapter 7? He says, I'm not suggesting that the law of God is sinful. He said, of course not. Because what the law did, it showed me my sin. I would never have known that coveting was wrong except the law. It said, you shall not covet. But sin used this, praise the Lord.
Amen. I believe Elder People has gotten disconnected. We're just going to anticipate him calling back in. So hold on with us, and he'll be right back. Okay, Elder Peoples.
Yes, I'm here.
Yes, the call dropped. You can continue on in the anointing.
All right. Praise the Lord. Amen. But as I was saying, grace is the only healing balm, brothers and sisters, for the inner sanctum. Devil tried to mess up our program, but he's a liar. We got the word out tonight. Praise the Lord. But it's very important that we understand that God wants to heal us, but we got to open our door. We have to open the door to the inner sanctum. We specialize in the outer court. We dress right. We look right. We say it right. But the body of Christ is a body full of people that are hurting. And God wants to heal us on the inside. That's the only way that the love of God is going to flow through. Praise the Lord. God is love. And it's going to take a love to go in to the innermost place and give us the healing and the deliverance that we desire. We all know it's there. I've got mine, you got yours. Praise the Lord. And grace is the only healing balm. You cannot operate in a spirit of condemnation. Praise the Lord. Many of us as brothers and sisters, we're in environments, spiritual environments, where everything is condemnation. Everything is God's going to get you. God's going to destroy you. God is out to get you. And we need to be delivered from that. We need to understand that he loves us more than we can ever imagine. The Apostle John could only shake his head. And he was the apostle of love in the way he wrote. But he said, what manner of love is this that the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God? I love my children. I would die for my children. But can you imagine how much greater the love of God is for us? It's only the devil that tries to bring condemnation. And many brothers and sisters, day in, day out, week after week, go to church, and they're on a seesaw concerning their spiritual destiny. They don't know whether they're saved. And they need healing in the inner sanctum. They don't know where they stand with God. Well, if you don't know where you stand, you'll never be the evangelist, the prophet, the pastor, or the teacher that God wants you to be. How can you convince the world of a salvation that you're not sure you have yourself? Hallelujah. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Praise the Lord. Brothers and sisters, we need healing in the inner sanctum. We need to be healed on the inside. We need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. if you go to bed at night wondering whether or not you're saved, you need healing in the inner sanctum. I remember some years ago, a former pastor that I had, he would ask people in the church every Sunday, the Lord should come tonight. Who's ready? Very few hands would go up. And as I sit here tonight, I think about how spiritually pathetic that is. Because I'm not going to be found in Christ having my own righteousness. Christ has imputed his righteousness unto me. When he looks at me, he sees his own righteousness. Hallelujah. And if God should mark iniquity, no one should stand. That's why Jesus took those 39 stripes upon Calvary. He who bare our sins, that we might not have to. The laws, the Old Testament laws of propitiation. Praise the Lord. He being our scapegoat. They had a practice in ancient Israel where they would take a goat and they would lay the elders would lay hands upon him, the high priest would lay hands upon him and turn that goat loose in the wilderness. And when they saw that goat run off, they could say, there go my sins. And when you see Jesus, you can say, there go my sins. That's why Jesus on Calvary, hallelujah, felt this pain of separation from his Father when he said, Ale, ale, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Because he became sin for us who, praise the Lord, he who knew no sin became sin for us. That we might become the righteousness of God by faith. Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And God has imputed his righteousness unto us. Hallelujah. My brothers and sisters, we need healing in the inner sanctum. I hope to God you have been blessed with this message tonight. Praise the Lord. Evangelist Hannah, I thank you so very much.
Praise God, Elder Peoples. This is Prophetess Teresa. And,
Prophetess, God bless you, sis.
What an awesome, awesome teaching.
Thank you.
I mean, so much meat
yes.
in the Word of God, and as you have expounded on it tonight. Yes, we need healing.
Yes.
We need healing. It's everything that you said tonight.
Thank you, Lord.
It touched my spirit because it took my mind back to some things that happened even in my walk.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
And it's like something, to everything, there's a season.
Yes.
And, you know, when you
yes.
go through those things, it's like God will, he'll bring you, he'll lift you up above some things.
Yes.
And you'll be able to look at it and you'll say, I remember when I was in condemnation because of what
yes.
was ministered, what was said, what was spoken
yes.
over me. So it's a powerful thing to know. It's a powerful thing to know that if it had not been for the grace of God, by his grace, through righteousness. What an awesome, awesome word. Well, we thank you so much, Elder Peoples, for bringing forth that word and allowing God to use you like you did and like you always do. We send greetings of love and peace to our dear sister, Sister Peoples. Give her our love. I don't know if she's on the line tonight, but we're always
yes,
delighted
sir.
And excited to hear the word from you, man of God. And we just thank God for you. How you are, you're just sowing into God's
thank
people
you.
And with the spirit of truth.
Thank you, sis.
The spirit of truth. It's sad to say, but a lot of times we are satisfied with the spirit of error.
Yes, that's true.
You know, and we're comfortable with it.
Yes.
And we don't want to get our eyes enlightened, the eyes of our
yes.
understanding enlightened. Because it brings change.
Yes, it does.
And it brings healing when change comes.
Amen, so, yes.
So I'm excited. I've been refreshed tonight. I received that word. And, of course, as you were ministering, taking notes, glory to God, because I can regurgitate that word, because it's for
thank
all
God.
Of us to put it out there.
Thank God.
Yes.
I'm more than glad to be of service. Just God
yes.
bless you all.
Yes.
It's a great opportunity.
Yes, and we know you got plenty of notes. And
I do keep a lot of paper around.
Amen. Valuable
yeah.
treasure.
Thank you.
Well, again, we're just going to, I don't know if you have a few more minutes, Elder Peoples.
Sure.
Okay, because we're going to open the lines up, and we want to just lift you up in a word of prayer.
I appreciate this, sis.
Father God, we thank you for the man of God. We thank you for all that he has sown into your people. And, Father, we thank you that he's covered with the blood of Jesus. We thank you, Father, that his home and everything that concerned him, his wife, his family, Father, and even his ministry, we just thank you, Father God, that you are encamped around everything that he does. We thank you, Lord God, that the blood of Jesus prevailed over his life, God. And we thank you, Father God, that as he opened his mouth to speak your word, God, that you would bless him in every way possible. Father, you said in your word that if we delight ourselves in you, Father, you said that you would give us the desires of our heart. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, in his prayer time, as he is in your presence, Father, we ask you for a downflow, an overflow.
Yes.
Overtake him, Lord God. Ra-kur-ra-bu-sha. Overtake him, Lord God. Ra-ma-kosha. Reward him, Lord God, for every seed sown into your people, God. We thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing and what you have done. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that even in this holiday season, Lord God, that as he ministered to others, Lord God, that it go into good ground. And we thank you for a harvest, God. And, Father, we just thank you for his faithfulness to the Internet radio. We thank you, Father God, that you would just overshadow him with your loving kindness and your peace, your joy, your long-suffering, all the attributes of the fruit of the Spirit, God. So we just thank you and we delight in you and in your word, and your grace is sufficient for thee.
Yes.
Father, we just lift you up in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
We lift you up, God, for we yield to your authority. In Jesus' name, we say amen and glory
amen.
To God.
Thank
well,
you.
We now have the lines open, and I don't know if there's anyone on the line that have a comment or a prayer request, or you just want to encourage the man of God. We have the lines open at this time.
Hello?
God bless you.
Praise the Lord. This is Evangelist Egan's. I'm sorry I just joined in and I missed the word of God from Elder Peoples, but I just thank God for him being obedient and being on the line tonight.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes.
Thank you, sis.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Evangelist. Is there anyone else on the line that would have a prayer request or anything that you would like to say at this time? This is your moment.
This is Evangelist Hannah. Truly, Elder People, I enjoyed the word of God tonight. Every time
you,
God used you, I enjoy eating at the table. Glory to God.
Praise
and,
God.
A mighty word that came forth tonight out of your belly. And God bless, keep, and keep you and your wife and your ministry. And you are in our prayers.
Thank you, sis. God bless you very much.
Amen. Is there any other prayer requests, testimonies, or just comments? Well, we know that you were blessed because you're still on the line. You're still, we see the Internet listeners in, on the board. So we know that you were blessed tonight. We just want to ask you to take that engrafted word and let it be in your spirit. Let it be in your spirit. Let it grow. Let it produce a harvest. And get in God's presence and depend on him for the direction for your life. Again, before closing, we're going to ask Sister Tammy, are you with us?
My impression. Hello, God bless you.
God bless you.
God bless you. Good evening. Good evening, elder people.
God bless you, sir. Thank you.
Good evening, Kingdom Builders International, Kingdom Daughters. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I'm here, Prophetess Teresa. And I have a few announcements that I would really like to make on behalf of Kingdom Builders and Kingdom Daughters. May I please go for it? As iron sharpens iron, in Proverbs 27 and 17, Kingdom Builders International Ministry is here to continue to build the kingdom of God in such a mighty way. And I just wanted to let you all know some of the upcoming events and our happening with Kingdom Builders International. Every first Saturday of the month at 2 p.m. here in Gary, Indiana, or other places, we'll let you all know in more detail. But we have our monthly empowerment coming forth. We bring different ministries, different ministers, different members of the body of Christ up and out with the word of God and allow them the privilege to come before the people of God with a mighty, powerful word. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. We also have 6 days a week at 5 a.m. Central Standard Time, an intercessory prayer line that is mighty and powerful in the Lord. Every moment that the intercessors speak, every word that proceeded out of their mouth is blessed. Hallelujah. It's taking root. It's changing lives. It's destroying the enemies of darkness, hallelujah, and households, hallelujah. It's building God's kingdom. That's 6 days a week at 5 a.m. Central Standard Time, our intercessory prayer line. Soon there will be 7 days a week. And the number for the intercessory prayer line, 218-895-0280, and the access code is 7729, the word PRAY, 218-895-0280. Again, the access code is the word PRAY, 7729. And you can also contact Kingdom Builders and Kingdom Daughters at www.kingdomdaughters.org and www.kingdombuildersplaza.org. Send in your prayer requests. Kingdom Builders will even send you a Bible if you don't have a Bible. My sister and my brother, this is the most anointed, powerful prayer line and website. Log on, kingdomdaughters.org, kingdombuildersplaza.org. We also have a youth internet broadcast. Oh, look at God's mighty hand move. Youth internet broadcast. Hallelujah. God is reaching every person in the body of Christ, young and old, bringing the word of God forth through the youth. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Through Kingdom Builders International. Hallelujah. We have a prayer petition out being signed for prayer to get back in our school. Hallelujah. As we know, the prayer was taken out of the schools, I believe, in 1962. And God is moving forth with a mandate for the youth has been made through Christ Jesus, through Kingdom Builders, international ministries God is using for the prayer petition to continue to go forth and be signed. We need 100 signatures. And God bless us where we're getting thousands and thousands of signatures for the prayer to get back in school. So be with your minds open, with your eyes open, looking for this prayer petition. Sign it for the prayer to get back in our schools. 7 days a week, as we're on Blog Talk Radio, hallelujah, 7 days a week, we're hosting, having different hosts, different ministries, bringing the word of God as the mighty man have tonight. Hallelujah, glory be to God. for the Blog Talk Radio line. We're having a biannual apostolic prophetic conference. Two, in 2013, hallelujah. The first one is April 25th, 26th, and 27th of 2013 in our Detroit, Michigan area. Hallelujah, I am so excited. Bring a friend, bring a family member. Hallelujah, come out and be blessed. Hallelujah, glory be to God. Glory be to God, hallelujah. We have our streaming television. I have to get updated with that. I don't know too much about the streaming television, but I know it's a blessed instrument God is using through Kingdom Builders. And we also have our Kingdom Teens internet radio site, hallelujah, and our senior Bible class. And that's Wednesday at noon. And God bless you all. We're asking, knowing that this is good ground to sow in, if you'd like to sow into this ministry, contact us on the website. But we believe God's word in Luke 6:36, that if you give, it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. And before you send your seed, pray over it. Believe God to give it back to you in good measure. And may God bless you 100-fold for even your desire to give. Kingdom Builders love you. And we appreciate everybody that tune in on the line. God bless you. God bless you. And have a wonderful evening.
God bless you, Sister Tammy. Thank you for those announcements. And again, I want to make this last announcement. At the Living Way Christian Center located in Gary, Indiana, we will be having our watch night service. You can come in and join in. We'll be there at 9 p.m. The address is 235 West 40th Avenue, and that's Living Way Christian Center. Our pastor, Apostle Leonard M. Emmons. So get it. If you're not doing anything, or even if you are, you haven't confirmed your plans, come out and join us where we are in prophetic intercession. The word of God is going forth. Prophecy is going forth. And we just believe in God for some great things in 2013. We will be doing a 42-day fast. And I am extremely excited about it. So it will be launched off that night. So, again, I just want to encourage everyone to join in and be part of what God is doing. As elder people went forth with power, see, some things come by fasting and praying. So in order to get some revelation, we have to push away the plate. We have to push away the computer. We have to push away some things. To everything, there's a season. So I just pray that you go back on Blog Talk Radio and listen to the sermon, the teaching again. It's in archives. You'll be able to listen to it over and over again. He expounded on so much information. And I'm telling you, every time that word go forth, my appetite increased for it. So, again, we are excited. And we just, in closing, if all is well with everyone, we're just going to have elder people have the last words. And we'll see you tomorrow. We'll be here tomorrow, same time, same place, with Saturday with the Word. Elder people, are you still with us?
Yes, I am. God bless you all, and thank you so very much for the opportunity. Keep me in your prayers. Definitely doing spiritual battling and warfare, so I got something up before the Lord. You all, I appreciate it if you agree with me in prayer with it. And I believe God for the victory.
Amen, and it's already done. It's already done. We're going to be in much prayer with you. We're going to get in that faith fight with you, and we expect the testimonies to come forth in Jesus' name.
Amen. Yes.
God bless you. Have a wonderful rest of the evening, and know that we love you as our brother in Christ.
And, thank you, sis.
And we just are so delighted and excited about you being part of what God is doing. Amen.
Thank you, sis.
Amen.
God bless you.
God bless you. So, everyone, have a wonderful night, and we pray that you take that engrafted word and run with it. Amen. God bless, and we'll see you tomorrow night.